Hello, everyone. How are we today?
Hey, David.
Actually, I don't like it when people say, how are we today? I should say, how are you today? Happy New Year, if I haven't already said that to you. Where have we got? Carolyn, Deborah, Mark,
hey.
Scott. Oh, Mark from across the ditch. How are you, Mark?
Good, mate. Just going to adjust my microphone.
Cool. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yep.
Cool. So what's the time? We're about a minute early or something, I think. Yep, 1 minute early, so we'll give people a minute. Deborah, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, David. And you?
Yeah, and you're coming through nice and loud and clear. Scott, how are you? Scott, doesn't look like you've got a microphone from what I can see here. If you haven't got one plugged in, you won't be able to speak. But if you've got one plugged in, it's not working. Carolyn?
Yep. Hi, David. How are you going?
Yep. Yeah, good. I can hear you loud and clear too. That's cool. Good. So I'm expecting we'll get a few more people. So Deborah, how's things in Victoria? Is the heat wave gone?
For the moment, yes. It's cooled down a little bit, but it's building up again. So,
good.
Oh, joy.
Good, good, good. I'd hate you guys to get it too cold.
Yeah.
It's cold in Queensland today.
It's cool. Yeah, it's definitely cooler than yesterday. Erica, you don't appear to have a microphone. Not sure if you're aware of that. If you can say hi and prove me wrong, I'll be happy. Looks like you do now.
Oh. Who are you talking to?
Erica. And I heard
you were
just speaking. Yep, you're a little quiet if you've got a volume knob turning up, but I can hear you.
Okay. Is that a bit better?
Yeah, no, that's good.
Okay, good.
All righty. Anne?
Hello.
Is that Anne from across the ditch too?
It is, yeah.
Welcome. How are you today?
Very good. But the weather isn't.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we could talk about the weather, but we probably shouldn't.
No, it'll take too long.
That's right. I started that topic with Deborah and decided not to go any further with it. Lance, how are you? How's the weather in weather. Don't ask about the weather. How's Darwin today?
G'day, wet. Can you hear me?
I can, yes. A little quiet, but if you get closer to your mic, you'll probably be louder.
This is weird. This is really, really weird. I tried to do a Zoom session and the other day and I couldn't be heard on my microphone.
Yeah, well, you so can now.
I figured, well, I needed to buy a new headset. So I went out and I couldn't find the right one. And now it's working.
Take it back, get a refund.
I didn't buy the other one. I didn't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, so there you go. Good news. It's working.
It's
Stephanie,
working.
good news. Stephanie?
Hi, David and Lance, yep. And all the rest.
Yep, can hear you, so that's good. You're all loud and clear. And Erica, Stephanie. Here's someone on the phone. Who's the person on the phone with end in 8040?
That's me.
Who's me?
Ian Pedley.
Ian Pedley. How are you, Ian?
Good. I'm frustrated with computers and internet, so bear with me.
That's all right. Your phone's working. I got you loud and clear. Now I know who you are. I won't call you 8040 now. I'll call you Ian.
That's a good idea. Thanks.
It's all good. All right. Well, we're a couple of minutes in after our start time, so I think to honour you guys who are on time, we'll get started, and then anybody that comes in late, we'll put them in the naughty corner. I shouldn't talk about the naughty corner, should I, Anne?
No, I'm always in the naughty corner.
I kept sending Anne to the naughty corner when she came for training. But anyway, we won't go. All right, I've got this. The recording is already underway. For those of you who wanted to just check with me, I can tick that box. I have for the past. All right, so welcome to 2018. And I would call 2018 the year of opportunity. It's very fresh. Well, today we're 1/12th of the way in, 1 month is down, and we've got 11 in front of us. I'm just going to ask you guys to mute yourselves. Actually, what I might do is just mute everybody, and then you can unmute yourself if you want to speak. Okay, so yeah, just tick on your little microphone if you want to speak. That way we'll cut out the background news. So yeah, year of opportunity. I really expect big things this year. You guys know that my push is to get as much publicity for us as we can. More about that in a minute. One of the announcements that I would like to make, some of you will be aware that we've got some fairly high achievers amongst us. And I've asked Carolyn Mose and Bree Handyside and Sam Boardman if they would like to come on a panel and to assist with decision making and raising topics that might need to be discussed and throwing ideas in the hat, and they have accepted. It's not an exclusive thing. Obviously, if there are other people who stand out, I will look to invite them as well. So if you've got anything that you want us to discuss, you can come straight to me. If you don't want to talk to me, you can talk to one of those guys. So Sam and Carolyn and Bree. We haven't had our first meeting yet, but we've set up a system where we can sort of create an agenda, and so that we've, you know, anything that needs to be discussed, ideas and what have you, we've got them there to talk about. So I just thought I'd mention that so that you all know that we're sort of heading in that direction. I want you guys to have as much say in what happened as possible. And if you present me with some crazy ideas and you convince me that it's a good idea, great. And if you come up with a crazy idea and you can't convince me, well, that'll be the end of that. I'll try to be as cooperative as I can. Now, a current affair. Let's get on to that. So you guys know from the end of last year that I basically said my push for this year is going to be to get as much publicity for the spending plan as possible. And there's so many facets of what media could pay attention to. I'm just preparing an email at the moment to go to the journalist at A Current Affair, or the reporter, I guess you'd call him, who's doing the story, trying to give him as many angles and contacts as possible. Because, you know, there's the angle where we've got some customers whose lives have been changed. That's a great angle. Then we've got the angle of you guys who have changed your life, a lot of you, with using the system, and now you want to pass that forward. That's a great angle. I'm going to try and pitch as many angles as I can so that they can say, you know, like which is the angle they like. And I'm hoping that they will put a little bit of everything into the story. What you do need to understand is that I have absolutely no say in what they end up doing with it. All I can do is, the only control I can have is what I give them, the people that I connect them with and the information that I give them. And after that, they'll get an idea in their head as to what this story can look like, and that's what it will be. So anyway, they've said to me that they will start filming next week. I've got a group of people starting their training this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And the Current Affair have suggested they might come along on the Monday. At first, I thought that's a great opportunity, and I think it is, but I just need to let them know that they can't use up lots of time because I've got people who have got to get trained. So other people, they will actually go out to individually and stitch their story together. So that's exciting, and I think we should all be looking forward to that. Now, once that story's gone to air, one of the opportunities for us all is to get a recording of that. And you know, if you've got some way of recording it when you're watching it, great. Usually they will send me a copy of the video so that we can use. And if that happened, I'll put it up on the resources center so you guys can download it. But if you can put that on your Facebook, put it on your website, spread it anywhere you can to sort of help raise the profile of our industry, that will be, I mean, the credibility there is just awesome. So we'll milk it for all we can. All right. Are there any questions about that before I move on? I'll just unmute everybody.
Sorry?
No, that's awesome.
Yeah, now across.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Yeah, Mark, I think you were saying that's awesome, but you're in New Zealand.
Yeah. Oh, it'll still be good.
Do you get a current affair in New Zealand?
No, but if we get a copy of the video, we can put it on our stuff here.
Yep, yep. And by the way, Mark has sent me a couple of contacts in the TV in New Zealand, and so once we've got the current affair footage, I can ring them and yeah. and send it to them to look at, and then they can decide whether there's a story there that they'd like to present as well. So sweet. I'll use one success to launch into the next one, hopefully.
Yeah, that's good.
Any other comments or questions? Yeah, who's that? No? All right, moving right along. I'll just mute everyone again. Okay, so there's one question that has been raised in my mind with the exposure of being on the current affair. Clearly, we've got the Find a Spending Planner website that we want to promote. We want that site to be referenced in the story as much as possible, because that's where people, the general public, are going to find you guys. However, it's really important that whoever they go there and find is going to be somebody that can look after them. And there are some people who I know haven't had a customer in quite a while, and I've got people doing a refresher course at the moment, but I've removed some people from there, and I'll put them back, obviously, but I didn't want a current affair just going and randomly picking somebody who didn't have a customer and saying, tell me all about your business. Because that might not have gone so well for us. So it's really important that we don't take any chances of getting bad representation. And all you guys that did the refresher course late last year, and I've got a few people going through there at the moment, I sent you guys an email just earlier. I hope you saw that. Clearly, you know, once you're confident, you need to let me know. And if there are anybody, if your name's there and you're thinking, you know, if I got 50 people want me to be their spending planner next week, I couldn't cope with that. Maybe I'd like my name off the website for a week or two, and until the flurry of inquiries dies down a little bit. I can tell you from past experience that the impact of being on a current affair lasts for quite a long time. In the first week, it could be different now, because my experiences were back when there were only 4 TV channels in Australia. Now people have got lots of, you know, online Netflixes and what do you call it? All that pay TV stuff that you get. Obviously, I don't watch much of it. So that, you know, there's more competition for the viewer, but we will still get, I believe, a strong hit, and then it will gradually fade away. So if you're thinking, maybe just take me off for a week and then put me back on, if you want me to do that, just let me know. No problems with that. All right. Any questions about that? I'll unmute everybody.
Sorry, David, I came on a bit late. When is it airing?
I don't know yet. The filming should be next week, but I can tell you that plenty of times they've said to me in the past, we'll be there on Wednesday. And on Wednesday, the Prime Minister died or something amazing happened in the world. And it was like everything changes at the drop of a hat. So, you know, they'll tell you what they're going to do, but their plans can change and you at their whim. So, but hopefully next week will be filmed. And then usually it's within a week of it being filmed, it goes to air. But no guarantees. All right. Any other questions on that? Okie dokie. I'll mute you all again. Cut out the background noises. All right. Annual conference. Now, not everybody that's on the call came to annual conference. Annual conference, I thought, went pretty well. And from the feedback forms that you guys filled in, I think pretty much you guys thought the same. For me, I tried really hard to put into that conference as much as I could that I thought would give you a really good start to the year and get you pumped up, and not just pumped up, because, you know, when you get pumped up, you just get deflated again after a while. Mind you, we're going to talk about that today. But information that you could take away and go, here's something I never had before, something I never knew before, or something I'd never thought of doing before that I can put into practice. And, you know, 2017's gone. It's history. 2018 is in front of us. And it's a whole new oyster shell that we can open up and make pearls out of. So, you know, my goal was to give you as much gold in those sessions as I possibly could. And I would think that by now we're almost 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks or whatever past that. If you were there, you definitely should be getting some traction or doing something to make that traction happen. Because if you haven't, I'm a little bit concerned that nothing is going to happen. Now, I have with me today on the call a very famous guest speaker. Her name is Casey. She just happens to be my daughter. I'm going to unmute Casey. So for those of you that don't know, Casey was one of the speakers at the conference, and I got her to give everybody a bit of a kick up the bum, so to speak, help people with goal setting, help people to sort of ask themselves the question, so what have I been doing or what haven't I been doing in the past that I should do or could do differently or should stop doing to do other things? And I thought it would be really appropriate today if we sort of went, okay, so even if we didn't come to the conference or even if you did, doesn't matter. Here we are, it's the first day of February. We've got 11 months left in the year. We'll write December off because it's usually just a crazy month anyway. So 10's a nice round number. We've got 10 months to go and change the world. And I really want to give you guys a great start to that. So, hi, Casey, how are you?
Hey, hi, guys, I'm back.
Yes.
The Indigo people have been meant to contact me about training, not her. So it's that this part is not actually her fault. It's their
fault. Okay, I think I've got somebody's...
I accidentally answered a phone call from Melissa.
Yep, I'm just going to mute everybody and unmute you, Casey, because I think we've got somebody in the background who's talking a private conversation there. There you go. All right. There we go. All right. So, Casey.
Yeah.
I thought we might start by just throwing in the question. If people aren't underway, you know, getting some traction already in 2018, there must be a reason. So we'll sort of dig into what those reasons might be in a minute, but I thought we might start off with what are, let's say three top tips that people can take on board, if you like, to get their year underway and to make their business go well from the start.
Yeah. All right, cool. So we did obviously for those that were at conference, and that was 18 days ago now, so you should be well and truly getting some traction if you were at conference. I did talk about them there, but obviously by now and this stage, I know for myself personally and in my business, I have some very clear strategic goals written down on paper and in place in my house where I can see them all the time. So they should definitely have some written down clear goals by now. Right. There should be, and again, this was one of the topics I covered, creating that morning routine or that morning ritual, if you'd like to call it, of taking some time to visualize those goals being achieved. You know, closing your eyes, actually picturing them or drive along, picture yourself in that position, visualizing those goals.
Don't close your eyes driving.
Yeah, maybe don't close your eyes while you're driving. Writing those goals out. I can't emphasize that enough. You need to write out those goals that you've already written in a good copy somewhere. Write them out every day and read them. You need to read them again. So that little step would be my number two. And number three, and I couldn't emphasize this enough at the conference, is you need to just do one thing, even if it's one phone call or you've collected one business card or you've dropped off one business card or you've sent one email. You need to do one thing every day.
I'm hoping that's at least one thing, a minimum of one thing.
At least one thing, yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about goals, because I know in the past that I'm going to put my hand up and say I've written down goals or I've decided I was going to write them down or I've set goals, but I fell off the wagon, so to speak. I'll just about guarantee that every person that's listening in right now has heard this, you know, write down your goals at some point in their life. They've probably even done it and they've fallen by the wayside. What, like, what's the solution to that and how critical is it?
It's so critical. And in my head, I see it almost as a physical brick wall. And sometimes you need to actually visualize yourself stepping over that wall. And it might make a bit more sense in a minute. So if something doesn't feel natural to you, it's obviously because it's not part of a routine. It's not something that you do in a state of automation. For example, perhaps making your bed, getting dressed, having a shower, cleaning your teeth. Those things are so ingrained in us from little to do those things every single day. I mean, not everyone might do, you know, all those things. We might not make their bed, but, you know, those daily habits. And that honestly is what this has to come down to. It has to become a habit. If you don't force yourself every day to step over that brick wall, to make yourself go, this is my new habit. This is how I have to do it. This is the time of the day I've told myself I'm going to do it. I've just cleaned my teeth. What's the next thing? Oh, I'm going to do my goals. That is the only way to successfully implement change to implement goals. You need to make it happen.
That's like attaching a trigger to it. I clean my teeth. The next thing that happens is set my goal. Does it have to be?
And really, like your daily routine, it triggers. You know, you. I know for my husband, it's wake up. He pushes the button on the kettle. You know, that's his process. It's up. It's breakfast. It's coffee. You know, and it just needs to become whatever it is for you. If it's sit up, pick up the notebook before you even take those feet out of the bed. You know, right before you get out of bed, it needs to become habit so that if you wake up one morning and you go, something's missing, what did I not do today? You actually are missing that piece of your puzzle.
Okay, for all the people that are thinking, oh, I've tried this so many times and I've failed, if this is so important and I fail at it every time, I'm just going to be a failure, what would you say to them?
They need to change the language. Because okay, admitting that it's a constant failure, I can't do this, is something that you're committing to that subconscious. I can't do it. I can't do it. I always fail at this. You need to change that language and teach yourself a new story.
Okay, so is there some way that someone that's, you know, tried the goal setting thing and fallen by the wayside that many times, they've kind of don't have confidence in their ability to do that anymore? Is there some other way? Is there something else that they can do to overcome that? And I'm wondering if it might be, you know, using somebody else's.
Oh, absolutely. An accountability buddy. Not a lot of accountability buddies, blah, 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 would like to be up at 5 o'clock with you. But hey, if you've got someone that you can use who will call you at 5 o'clock every day and say, you told me to call you today. I can't remember what I'm calling you about. It must be something really important. Even if you can remember what that trigger is, it was, oh, I was supposed to write my goals down, or I was supposed to have done these three steps. You know, if someone else can help you to stay accountable, then awesome. And that's, you know, essentially something that, like a life coach or a goal coach or a mentor, or that's something that they can help you with too.
Righto. So I know there's lots of people that go jogging or bike riding and they do it with somebody else for that very reason.
Absolutely. Because
if they don't feel like it today, but the other person's going to be there, it's kind of like, oh, I need to be there. So I know that a lot of the spending planners are buddies with a number of other spending planners. Like, we've got these groups. I think down in Melbourne there's a group that get together every couple of weeks even. So those, you know, for you guys, if you're one of those people that kind of go, oh, goals, I don't really get it, or, you know, I've done it before and I tried it and didn't like it, or that's one of the secrets that you need to become accountable to somebody else. There's also, and you might be able to explain this better, there's when you tell somebody else your goals, you're more likely to achieve them. What's that about?
Well, again, it comes down to someone else's expectation of you, of actually not failing them, because it's more than just you failing. It's you're failing someone else as well. It comes down to accountability.
Right. Okay, so I guess because you talk about, I know you've spoken about setting or writing goals down as if they're in the present. So here we are at the start of February 2018, and I've just decided, okay, I'm going to have another crack at writing down my goals. What's it got to look like? What do I have? What should I be doing?
So you're wanting to write down your goals for just business in general, for
spending, my spending plan of business, that's what I'm doing. Yep.
Okay, so I guess like I talked about at the conference is, you know, my steps are you need to start backwards. Start with your big goal and work backwards in a time frame and break that big goal down into what looks like a funnel. So that big goal is getting smaller and smaller over a period of time so that they're more achievable. You've got those steps in place, so it becomes like a footpath that you follow. Next week I need to have achieved this, next month, next 6 months, next 12 months.
So everybody's going to have different size goals, but let's pick a goal. Let's say that somebody has decided that they want to have 100 customers by the end of this year. Is that as far out as, like, is that far out enough?
Depends on the person. Depends on what they're willing to expect to be achievevable.
All right. So for somebody who's got maybe 2 or 3 customers, that's a pretty big goal. Should they be aiming higher than that, or would you say that's a big enough goal to aim for right now?
I guess for me, one of those steps is it achievable and is it measurable? So we want people's goals to be achievable. That's the psychology behind goals, successful goals, is they need to be achievable because we need to celebrate those successes, which rewires the subconscious. But if that's what their goal is, then that's not too big a goal. It just needs to be broken down into smaller goals that are going to be achievable goals to reach that end goal.
All right. So let's say that was the goal. One of these guys decided I want 100 customers, 100 clients, whatever you want to call them, by the 1st of December 2018, 10 months from now.
Yeah.
The maths on that isn't hard. So what should that goal look like?
All right. So it needs to be in positive language. And I would start, again, with the furthest away goal. So pick your date. It needs to have a date on it. It needs to be written in the present. And it needs to obviously state what it is that you want. So I will have 100 clients by, and put the date.
1st of December. So, but isn't that in the future? Don't you say they have to be written in the present?
Well, present, future tense. So it needs to be as if it's already happened.
Okay. So it's the language more than the...
Yeah, the language, yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. So that's the big goal for the year. Mm-hmm. So what happens then? Is it...
Break that down to the next month. So November, 1st of November, I will have 90 clients, or I have 90 clients signed up.
All right, so it's that simple.
It really is that simple. And using those as targets, so long as you then implement the daily routines of actually doing something, you can't just write a goal and expect you're going to hit it and do nothing. You have to actually do something.
All right, and that brings me to the next bit, and that's the... So, okay, it's the 1st of December 2018. I've achieved my goal. It's one thing to sort of write down those goals and say, I'm going to write these goals out every day. You know, these are all my goals, 1st of March, 1st of April, 1st of, yes. 1st of December.
Yeah.
But if there's no how, like, what's the likelihood of that happening? How important is the how I'm going to achieve the goal, and where does that fit into goal setting?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, yes, it's very important, because if you don't have a how, then you're not going to hit it. I think for everyone on this call, their how is that they are a spending planner.
Let's dig deeper though. Let's dig deeper than that, because every one of these guys on the call have used different strategies to try and attract customers. And some have had success, some haven't had a lot of success, some have failed. Different strategies have worked, different strategies haven't worked. At the conference, I tried to give people as much creative thought processes, I guess you'd say, to start thinking about different ways, or maybe not a different way, but a different approach or a different thought process. So I'm kind of thinking, okay, someone's just said, all right, 100 by Christmas, that's the goal. And so I'm going to write that down, by this date, just break it down into smaller chunks. But unless there's an action plan, unless there's this is what I'm going to do, or more a case, this is how I did it, if we're going to write it in the present tense.
Yeah.
So have you got any, is this really something for me to talk to these guys about, or have you got any tips for them?
I mean, there's lots of things they can do. And you've already kind of talked about having an accountability person, someone who, like, get in a networking group, you know, brainstorm. What did they do that worked for them that you haven't tried that didn't work for them? You know, let someone else help you to be the person who makes sure that you're monitoring your goals properly, I think. And, I mean, obviously, everyone's going to do their business differently, but if something, you've already tried something and it's not worked, then try something else. As long as you're at least on your way to hitting those targets, that's really the most important thing.
I'll digress. Well, I won't digress a little bit, but I'll just sort of expand on that topic, because I know at the training that every person that came to, we said that you need to identify a niche that is your focus of what you want to do. You can't just go, anybody out there is my potential client and I'm going to try and get everybody, because all of the marketing material that you develop will be totally unfocused and that won't be laser pointed, so that it's going to just miss. The language that you develop when you pick a very definite niche or target becomes honed to that particular demographic and that group of people. For example, if you decided it was going to be doctors, you'd probably start using doctory kind of words. Whereas if it was going to be, you know, truck drivers, you'd develop a different vocabulary in your marketing. So that's important. But I'm going to go off this topic just a little bit. We'll come back to it. Diane, I think I saw you on the. Diane.
Yeah, I'm here.
So you know what I'm going to talk to you about, don't you?
My story from my language.
can I just preempt what we're going to talk about for a second?
You can, yes.
So on the kickstart call, because Di was on the last training intake and we had a bit of a holiday from our kickstart over Christmas, but we had a couple of calls since then. And I challenged Di on the kickstart call on Tuesday night. I said to Di, you don't have a story. You need a story. And she said to me, I don't really have one. And Anthea was on the call as well. And we encouraged Di to sort of tell us what her story was. And then we helped her to hone that. And Di, do you want to tell us your story?
Oh my gosh, I haven't honed it properly, but anyway.
Well, that's all right. Just,
oh, okay.
There you go. Come on. So Di's just talking with someone in the conversation. Okay.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. My name's Diane, and for many years I was in a financial position, as in I've worked on super funds, I've worked on in banks, I've worked on all sorts of things. And one super fund I've worked on corporate super funds, and I've worked on corporate and industry super funds, ranging in size from 20 people to around 3.5 by 2, so 7,000 odd members over two funds. That particular fund, their assets were sort of joined, and they had over $300 million worth of assets, paid over $1 million worth of tax a quarter, and we received $2 million worth of contributions a month, which I could balance right down to the cent. So everything that I've got done has been really good. I've worked with a number of auditors and they've been really happy with my work. Anyway, but upshot of that is that you come home, I was working long hours and everything else, and I wasn't, you get home and then you're too tired or you can't be bothered working on your own finances, and consequently my finances weren't in the best spot. But then I came across an absolutely wonderful program which was able to help me get my finances back on track and be able to project my finances into the future. So that's basically my little story. I found it so wonderful and I wanted to share it with other people, and that's about it at the moment.
All righty. So, Di, you do need to work on that, because there was way too much detail about the super funds and things and not enough excitement on the tail end of it. But you and I can talk about that. But what I realised was important from that conversation that we had the other night was that everybody needs to have a story. that is compelling. So for me, if I was Di telling that story, I'd say, you know, just in a conversation at a barbecue, or, I mean, Di, I think, then thought it was like a presentation in front of a room full of people. Whatever it might be, you adjust it to suit the situation. But, oh, yeah, you know, I've worked on super funds where we've managed $300 million or 30, whatever it was. And the crazy thing is, you know, I've worked on these super funds successfully. I've been able to manage other people's money and make them wealthy. But, you know, I'd go home at night and I couldn't be bothered doing my own finances, and our finances were always down the gurgler. And I couldn't work out what was going wrong. You know, we were always in financial pain. Here I am at work managing $300 million, and here I am at home can't manage $3. And then I came across this system that totally changed everything. And it was like night turned into day. And it was so exciting. I got so excited about what this had done for us. I decided, you know what, I want to be part of this because I can help other people with this. And it's so exciting. Now, this system has changed hundreds, in fact, thousands of people's lives, saved marriages, people have gone on holidays, bought houses, investment properties. The outcomes have been amazing, and I'm so passionate about what I do. And does that sound more interesting and attractive? And, like, the thing is, people are going to go, wow, really? You know, tell us more about that. And I want each one of you to set a goal to come up with your story. Most of you don't even realize you've got a story, and if you do, you probably could make it sound better and sexier and more enticing. Anthea, can I just flip over to you? You should have expected this too.
Yeah.
Would you mind telling your story? You don't have to. It's just, would you like to?
Yeah, I can tell my story.
You might need to get closer to your microphone.
And I also just want to... Oh, okay. Am I a bit far away?
That'll be better. That's better.
Okay. I also just want to say, Di, that was at least 10 times better than the original story you told.
Yep.
So you're definitely on the way with that one. It just needs a little bit of honing, like David said, but it's just so much better. Like, just out of sight better. So well done.
So Anthea, can I you got a customer at the gym.
Yeah.
Can you tell how that worked for you? Is that the best way to do it, or you do it how you want to do it?
I think maybe I'll just tell my story and then
customer
at the gym, because it's sort of slightly different what I did with her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my story is basically 10 years ago, my husband and I were living in Sydney. We were both self-employed. My husband sells classical guitars, and so he'll sell one guitar for $50,000, you know, one day, and then nothing for 2 months. And so our income was always very sporadic. We had two very young kids under two. We were living in a beautiful part of Sydney in Bronte in this flat, and we had a huge mortgage. We had like a $600,000 mortgage, and my husband he'd remortgaged a number of times to pay out his ex-wife and pay out his ex-girlfriend, and, you know, he was single parenting his daughter, and... you know, like just a run-of-the-mill story, really, like a lot of people have, I suppose. I remember my dad saying to me, "You guys are a train smash waiting to happen." And I kind of, that just sort of hit me in the guts, but I wasn't quite ready to face it. But at some point we just knew we had to do something. It was very stressful. And so we knew we had to sell our place. We just, you know, luckily it was pre-GFC, and we came out with a little bit of money. We moved out into the country, and I looked around for a solution to our unconscious spending, because I knew that if we didn't address that, we would just end up in the same position. And I came across David Wright's program. And it just completely revolutionized the way that we live, and the way that we were able to be conscious of our spending.
And basically within a couple of years, we went from, you know, pretty much nothing to paying off 50 grand. We had sold that place. We bought a new place, a very low mortgage place, paid off 50 grand off the mortgage, and we bought two investment properties within 2 years. And ever since then, we've always been able to, we've always just been really conscious of our spending, and we never felt that level of anxiety that we felt. You know, sometimes things have been tight, but we always knew that we could get through it because we could see the projected forecast of what our spending year was going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's the story.
It's not a rags to riches story, but people get interested because you can say to them, you know, 10 years ago, our finances were in the toilet, and now, because of this system, everything's changed. And then the next bit is the exciting bit where you say to them, what I'm doing now.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, the opportunity came along to actually work with other people, helping them, you know, learn the system that I learned to get us out of that hole. And I just grabbed that chance. I thought, yeah, I really want to be doing that because I know how much of a difference it makes.
So thank you. That's an inspiring story. I remember when you told it, we were almost in tears at the training because it was an emotional story, and emotions is what people take action on. Now, the girl at the gym that I was referring to, I'm sure you gave her a shorter version than that, but just a quick, what happened in that instance, how you got a customer?
Well, it was sort of slightly different because she was an ex-student of mine. I hadn't seen her for quite a long time. And so I just kind of, I had in mind that I was going to have a conversation with someone after the gym class.
Yep.
And so I started talking to her. I started asking her questions about her life and what she was up to. And she was telling me, you know, all sorts of things, that she was going to go traveling, or she'd been traveling, and she was thinking about moving in with a boyfriend, but she didn't know whether or not she should move in with him or not. And she just was sort of looking like she was in angst about it. And I said to her, I had a similar sort of thing happen recently. Not, you know, I'm happily married, so it wasn't a relationship issue, but it was just, you know, I had the question of whether I should go back to full-time teaching or whether I should, you know, work for myself. And, you know, I decided to just kind of sit with that question and keep asking the universe, you know, to increase my desire for the thing that I was meant to be doing and decrease my desire for the thing that I wasn't meant to be doing. And so I sat with that for about 3 days and it became very clear that I wanted to work for myself. And now, you know, I'm working for myself in this fabulous new business where I'm helping people get their personal finance sorted out. And she just went, oh, what's that? You know, so I told her that, you know, I help people transform their finances and be able to, you know exactly where their money is going and save for the things really value rather than spending it on credit card debt. She was like, oh wow, so you're like a money life coach or something. And it just sort of went from there.
Right. And so off the back of that, you had a formal meeting and she signed up as a client, I believe.
Yeah, she did.
Cool. All right, thank you for sharing that. So what the point I wanted to make, thank you Diane Anthea, that was a little bit impromptu, but the point I wanted to make was that while Anthea said, you know, it wasn't her story, but she told a story, and people love stories. So the story was that, well, you know, I've come to this crossroads in my life and I'm thinking, what will I do next? Well, wait for the universe to tell me. And then along came this business opportunity, and it's kind of like immediately, oh, well, what did you decide to do? And then there was the opportunity to go, oh, well, you know, I changed people's lives with their finances and turned, you know, and I'm not sure if she mentioned the 10 years ago, by the sound of it, that didn't come into the story. But you guys, I want you to set a goal to think about your life. Now, the thing with Diane, I mean, when we talked to Diane on Tuesday night,
it became clear to me that Diane didn't realise that she had a story to tell. And the reason for that was because she was probably too close to her own story. And the moment somebody else looked at it and said, hang on, Diane, let's step back and look at it from our perspective, we could see where the juice was in her story that she couldn't see. And so every one of you guys has got a story as to why you became a spending planner, what was, you know, your life like before, and what drove you to come to the point where you thought, you know, this is what I'd love to do. And you guys all need to sort of start thinking, and I'd like you to pair up or work with a friend or somebody, because you're probably too close to your own story, so that you can actually work out how, you know, and you'll need a few different versions of it, because Anthea had, you know, like the story about the looking for a change in her life, and she's got another story about, you know, years ago they were broken, now they're not broken. What was the catalyst that made that happen? What was the thing that changed? So I want to challenge you all right at the start of this year, and I'll get Casey back in to talk to us about setting this goal. Now, this is an easy, immediate, achievable goal that every one of you should be able to achieve in the next week. Casey, how should they write this one down? Do they need to write this one down, or is
this... Absolutely. Is that even a question?
All right. Talk us through it.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant...
So the goal that I'm asking them all to set is to come up with their story. And this is like, this is so that when they're in a conversation with somebody, I want them to be able to get the other person emotionally engaged and wanting to know more and going, hey, tell me more about that. That's what I want. That's really interesting. Tell me more about it, which then gives them the opportunity to say, well, you know, we're at a barbecue right now, so how about we catch up for a coffee next week? Or what, you know, we're in the elevator right now, we'll be off it in 2 seconds time, give us your phone number, or whatever the situation might be.
Yeah, well, obviously it needs to be in their own words, and I certainly can't give them those words, but if it was me and you were asking me to write down this particular goal for myself, mm-hmm. about having a clear story, I would write it like this, that on Thursday, the 8th of February, I will have my story to tell to my clients, clear, powerful, and ready to give to them.
Simple. Nice and easy. All right, now you've got a story, haven't you?
I do.
Everybody has a story. I'm not sure if I should put you on the spot and say, do you want to tell your story? You can if you want it, but this is, I'll give you 2 seconds to decide.
I can if you want. I'm not sure where you're going with that, but I can.
Well, I'm not really going anywhere. I think that I want to just demonstrate the power of the story to people.
Very quickly. I was married at the age of 18 to a man who I despised, essentially out of pressure in a country that I hated, and had been manipulated to the point of becoming foreign to my own family, and living with that daily torture because I'd just been so manipulated to believe that I had no way out. And for those of you who have met me in a very short period of time, probably know that I'm not the kind, that's definitely not normally who I am. I'm a very outgoing, very strong-willed, spoken person, and I had become someone who I completely didn't even know or recognize anymore. And I felt that the only way out of that situation, because I have had to lie to my whole family for so long, was that I should take my own life. And 3 times I walked myself down to the river late at night because he was at work, and sat there on the edge of that river and thought, if I fell in, no one would even, you know, it would all be gone. It wouldn't matter anymore. But something about that process, and something that was still a part of me, inside of me, said, there's so much more for you. And that I know that I had been given that, and that my love of other humans outweighed that. And so I came back on the 3rd time and decided that I wasn't going to do that again. And I put that thought to rest. And the very next day, I actually wrote myself a goal that I was going to get myself out of this situation, come hell or high water. And I started by approaching our roommate and asking to borrow his email address because I wasn't allowed to have an email address. And I emailed my parents and come forward, how many years has it been now? 16 years? Not quite. No, it's been less than that, a bit less than that. I've obviously completely undone all that. And now it's my goal in life to support other people at any point in their life, because we all have so much more in us. We're all capable of everything that we believe that we're capable of. It's just a matter of taking those steps of faith. And that's a very short version of it, but that's where I come from.
You've developed a passionate desire to help other people change their life situation because of the situation
where I have been through. That's right.
And that's led you to the doing a life coaching course and the desire to do whatever you can to help other people set goals, achieve their goals, change their life for the better.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. So I'm sure everybody sees the power in the story.
Can I say something?
You can Anthony, yeah.
I just want to make a comment that thank you for sharing your story, Casey. There's something very, very powerful in sharing your vulnerability with people.
Because people,
I'm not just saying you, but just everyone, people are walking around in a little eggshell, you know, feeling fragile, alone, you know, separate from people, and they just want to connect with other people. And the way that they do that is by you actually pulling down your guard and showing who you really are for people. And that's where stories are so powerful for allowing us to connect with people.
Absolutely.
Right. And I might have not even realized that was where the power in the story is, but I just came to the realization this last week that is, I mean, from a marketing, and I don't want it to sort of become clinical, but from, you know, when you're reaching out to people and hoping that you can change their life, help them sort out their finances as in your role as a spending planner, you've got a story to share with them that will make them, and I think, Anthea, you pretty much nailed it. By showing your vulnerability and that, you know, you're human and you've made mistakes and that you've suffered and that, but you've overcome, you give them the hope that, well, there's hope for me. And also this is a real person who I can identify with and I can let my guard down, as you just said. So that's the challenge. And Casey's given you the wording for the goal. If you want to just do it again for us, Casey.
Well, it'd probably be different words now. I've had an emotional moment, but, Thursday, the 8th of February, I will have my story ready for my clients. It will be clear, it will be concise, it will be powerful. There's lots of words you could use. And obviously, it really, and I need to emphasize, it needs to be in your words, but that's what mine would say, ready to tell to my client.
Yeah, so the goal is their words, but the story is their words too, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. And along what Anthea just said, you know, your best marketing sales script is your story.
Yeah.
Because it bridges that gap between who you are and, you know, them wanting to be like you and them, and they realize, wow, I'm just like them. And it bridges that gap of that foreign water.
Right. Okay. So as I said before, I think you're all too close to your own story. So you need to, I'm sure you've all got, especially those that are at conference, you've got buddies that you sort of click with at conference. They want you to get together with those. If you're a Nigel No Friend spending planner, email me and I'll put all of you Nigels together. I'm just joking. But yeah, if you've got no one that you can pair up with, email me and I'll see if I can pair you up with somebody. But I want you to actually write your story in conjunction with another person, because they will help you to bring out the stuff that you are overlooking and missing. And then develop that into, you know, the story that you're going to share with people at a barbecue. Obviously the barbecue story is different to the one when you're in the boardroom speaking to a group of accountants or financial planners or mortgage brokers. But you know, you need to probably develop a few different versions of the story. You know, my story is, I had a single income family with three little kids at home, a stay-at-home wife, and we had this huge mortgage at 18% interest rate. And I was so stressed about money and making sure we could pay the mortgage, I sat down this night looking at a pile of bills and decided, I have to do something about this. I am going to find a solution. No matter what it takes, I'm not going to stop until I find a solution.
And over the years ahead, I stumbled onto this system that, that I just gradually developed, and it totally transformed their lives. We went from being, you know, I went from being stressed out of my head about bills to, why hasn't this bill arrived yet? Because here's the money to pay it. And I'm just ready to go. I'm ready to pay the bill. And I realized the feeling was so good, I started telling friends and families and neighbors about it. And they were all like, wow, that's pretty cool. Show me that. And so I decided to start my own little business, going into people's homes and showing them what I'd learned for myself. And I loved it. It gave me goosebumps. And so I just never stopped. And then, you know, how far you go with the story, that's my story. So you've all got a story. And you wanted the story. I mean, was those stories interesting? Do they get you in? Of course they do. All right, let's get back to setting goals, because nothing happens unless you set goals and write down goals. And I don't know if you felt it, but at the conference, those of you that were there, I looked at my daughter and I thought, my goodness me, I think I need to get her to coach me, because she's got so much enthusiasm and energy. And people are attracted to people with enthusiasm and energy. And when you're around tired and lazy people, guess how you feel? Anybody like to tired and lazy?
Lazy.
Yeah. But when you're around people who are like, let's go, let's do this, let's have some fun, let's make stuff happen, you get swept up in the whole momentum and you start outperforming anything you've ever done before. And so that's why I got Casey on the call today, because I wanted to talk about goals and excuses, and we haven't even touched on excuses yet. And, you know, like the why haven't yous and what, you know, I tried that in the past and it didn't work, so I'm not going to try it again. You know, if you tried something in the past and it didn't work, the only thing that should be the outcome from that is, okay, what could I do differently? Because I obviously didn't do it right the first time, the second time, and the third time. But if you think there's still some juice in it, have another go at it. Try a different angle. Ask somebody else if they've done something like that but done it differently. Don't give up. So let's talk about excuses, Casey.
Oh, I love excuses. I love stories. Mm-hmm. Different kinds of stories, though.
Yeah. So what are the excuses? Like, I know at the conference you had some examples of people who never gave up. Colonel Sanders was one. You had the Jim Carrey story, how he wrote himself a check for how many million dollars was it?
$10 million.
$10 million, and put it in his wallet with a date on it. And the day that date came, the money came.
It was very, very close. Yep. Very close.
To that. Give us an example of excuses that people use and how to overcome them.
Well, we covered them at conference, but I'm too tired. I'm too busy. I've been unwell. I have to go to hospital. I've got a doctor's appointment. My kids have got lots of sports on at the moment. I've got sick family members. I really have to go and deal with that. And some of those, yes, that I, you know, definitely don't discredit them. I don't think I'm being nasty here. But there's always 5 minutes in your day to either sit down and write your goals or make a phone call. No excuses.
And that could be just that one thing that you promised yourself that exactly every day.
It. That's yeah. exactly it. Because one step taken every day is better than no step taken in 6 months.
All right, so what's the answer to the too fat, too tall, too skinny, wrong colour, wrong race, wrong religion, wrong, all those excuses?
You need to just stop believing your stories. Absolutely. You need to kick up the backside. Seriously, you have to drop it and you have to move on. And look, I'll put my hand up. I have, you know, I've had plenty of stories in the past. Absolutely, I've had plenty of stories. I'm the first to admit that I'm a mother of three. I run our own business. I, you know, there's always something that I can use as an excuse. But it's about conscious recognition and accepting. I mean, for me, it's about conscious recognition of going, you know what, I've said that 3 times in the last 3 days. That's clearly a story I'm developing. Let's drop that, because that story is not serving me at all.
Righto. So I look at it like this. Any of you ever been in love, had a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and you were pretty keen on that person? And whether that relationship lasted or whether it didn't, at the time, you did anything. You would have climbed over fences, snuck out the window, you know, stayed back after school if you were, you know, teenage or whatever, to get with that person or to be with that person, and, you know, come up with excuses for your parents as to why you could go to the movies on a Saturday night or whatever it might have been, because you were passionate about being with that person. And to me, that one thing, passion, is what makes the difference. And if you're excited about something, you'll find that 5 minutes, I'll give you a perfect example. I think it was last night. It might have been the night before. It was about 2 a.m. and I was pretty clagged, definitely ready to go to bed. I hadn't finished everything I wanted to do, but I'd kind of gone, okay, that'll have to wait for tomorrow. And I was about to shut down and turn off and go off to bed, and I suddenly remembered a little hobby of mine and something that I've been wanting to do for quite some time. And I suddenly found some inspiration and some energy to just log on and send an email to somebody so I could get some information about a product that I just wanted to find out about. So it was that little bit of a spark of passion of this is what this is something I'm really excited about that took me from, I'm absolutely, hang on, what's the word I can use? I'm tired. But you know what? Suddenly I've found some energy. So it was the passion that did it. And you guys really need to dig deep. If you haven't got passion for this yet, you need to find it. Carolyn, your hand's up. I'll unmute you.
Hey, David. I just wanted to say to Casey regarding goal setting. I wrote down my goals at conference. As she was speaking, thank you. But I actually put that folder away when I got home and didn't look at it again. Okay. Mm-hmm. Today, as you were speaking, I've just typed up my goals, laminated them, and I'm just putting them on my wall.
Oh, you're a legend. Good girl.
Only a woman can do that.
Well, yeah, I know. We're multitasking people.
Absolutely. We are. Good for you. Mine's stuck above my computer at the moment, so we just moved house. So it's got to be somewhere
I posted a picture of my new study wall. David told me that it was that he preferred his minimalistic.
Good excuse.
Yeah, I'll put it up on the forum so everyone can see.
For those that want the truth in that story, Carolyn. Carolyn put some photos on her Facebook page of her wall, and it's just cluttered with stuff.
And No.
Clutter, you don't want clutter. I put a photo of my wall where I've got photos of my motorbikes, and it looks much better.
I have inspirational sayings all over my wall, David, and Casey would agree with me that that is a good thing.
Absolutely.
Cool. Good on you. Thank you for adding that little bit in there. All right, so this is a huge topic, and there's so much. I mean, every week we could have a call and just talk about language, goal setting, the excuses, overcoming the excuses, finding your passion, finding your purpose, finding your big why. You know, we haven't even touched on those things yet. But if you don't find your big why, which is really the passion, and you find this a drudgery and hard, or anything that you're doing, going to work, a drudgery and hard, you need to stop doing it. You need to find your big why and then go, okay, this is why I'm doing it. Now I'm excited about it. And suddenly it all changes. Have you got 5 cents worth to throw in there, Casey, or will I just leave that for another time?
I don't mind. But you're right. It comes down to passion. And if you can't find your why in what you're doing, then you really need to dig a bit deeper and find that why and then stick that why, whether it's a picture of someone or something, or whether it's materialistic or whether it's emotional, stick that with your goals. Stick it on your wall. Make sure that you see it all the time.
Is there a strategy for that digging deeper? Because I know a lot of people, if you said to them, why do you go to work, they'd say, for money. But money's just, that's not the why, because the money does something.
There is, and it is something in life coaching sessions that we can actually spend an entire session on, just working out people's why. And sometimes people think that they just want it for the financial freedom, but when you do dig a bit deeper, I mean, it's a bit of a process, but you can do it yourself. Honestly, journaling is a really good method for that. Write down for yourself, why do I want to do this? And if the first thing that comes out of your mouth is, or the financial success, well, what does the financial success get for you? Write down that answer and just keep breaking that answer down further and further and further until you get the same answer 2 or 3 times. And that usually means you've gotten very close to where you're at. There's a bit more to it than that, but.
Oh, dear. Carolyn, is your hand up again or is it just still up? I'll put it down for you. All right, I'm going to unmute everybody. So, has anybody got any questions about the stuff that we've been talking about, any of the topics that we've been talking about today? No? Speak now or forever hold your peace.
David, I haven't got a question. It's Diane here. I haven't got a question, but I think that not having my story has really been holding me back, and I think that's probably one of the, and a sexy story at that, you know, sort of something that's actually factual but probably sounds a bit better. I think that's really important for the training too. And I don't know whether you've, I think you've got that, you know, you're looking at that as well, but I think that's probably something really that would be really beneficial.
Yeah. So Casey's just started, just finished a course to become a life coach. And it, I mean, you got her story, but a little bit of the story that I can sort of add to it was that a few years ago, Casey got a few friends together and they said, hey, let's do some training and exercising and improve our fitness levels. And it almost turned into a, every week they'd all, the girls would turn up and spill their guts to Casey as all of the problems in their life. And she found herself counseling them all the time and absolutely loved it. Am I right here, Case?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so out of that, she sort of realized that she had this desire to help people sort out themselves and their lives. And it sort of led to this doing the life coaching course. But from hearing her story, you would understand that, you know, she's pretty passionate about this and she has a real heart for helping people. And she's just starting out now on her own business as a life coach. And I've been thinking, how can we tap into that passion and her skill and enthusiasm to help you guys, some of you that need a kick up the backside or a bit of help with finding your big why or whatever. And, you know, maybe, and this is a little bit of an upsell if you like, but if you wanted to talk to Casey about some life coaching, and it could be one-on-one, it could be a couple of you get together, it could be a group of maybe up to five of you get together to make it so that it's affordable or you know, cheaper or whatever, that you could contact Casey. How could they do that?
My emails would be the best way to do that. I can put it in the chat box if you want. I can put it in the chat box.
Okay. So what would you do for people? How does this look? What would the offer be?
I guess I could offer them a group coaching session or like a group goal monitoring session where we can jump on once a week and we can discuss their goals. I can help them to word their goals or I can help to keep them on track for their goals. Or I can take on private clients at the moment. Did you hear that? That was an email. Five is probably the most that we do in a group though, because otherwise you just don't get the one-on-one time that I think is really important. I have another group through another page that I've got that's got a few people in it, and I basically just help them to monitor their goals. I help them to keep them accountable to their goals, and they love it. They get lots out of it.
Right, because they've got to actually report in and it'll count.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And if they've had obstacles that week, you know, we can talk through those obstacles and we can, you know, dig a bit deeper on those. I mean, obviously there's a level of vulnerability there because there are other people in the group, but sometimes that makes it all that more effective.
Right. Okay. I've come to realise, I mean, I was talking with Carolyn yesterday and Carolyn, what did you say to me you thought was the most important thing in being successful in business? Or is she gone? I think she's gone. It looks like she's gone. Okay, well, I'll have to speak for her now. Carolyn said to me that she thought that mindset was the most important thing and she's been reading a lot on it. And there's some odd things happening here. I can hear buzzing sounds. Anyway. So, you know, this is the sort of topics that it's not directly related to your business, but it's directly related to you getting motivated to do what your business needs. All right. So it's 10 past two here, 10 past three down south and somewhere in between if you're in South Australia or elsewhere. So the message, the long and short of today's message is we've got 10 clear months ahead of us before we've got to come up with an excuse to say, oh, well, it's Christmas and nobody's listening. Set a goal for where you want to be 10 months from now, the end of this year, and break it down to small bite-sized chunks. And then get your story, team up with somebody else, get your story together and work out what, how can you get people to feel like you're a human being that they can identify with and that they'd be prepared to lower their guard and at least give you the opportunity to talk to them about changing their life. And you need to sort of go, okay, it's 1st of December 2018. This is how many clients I've helped. And this is, I want you to put, and Casey mentioned journaling, that's writing down on a piece of paper, you know, what you've done, what the problems that you're facing. Write down, as soon as you write down, you know, I've got this problem, the next sentence should be, and this is how I, the solutions that I could find for the problem. You'll actually solve your problems by journaling. And so I want you to write down, this is how I did it. This is how I got those 100 customers or those 50 customers or whatever your goal is. And then start, you know, forcing yourself to come up with the strategies and the reasons and the hows. And that will be a really good kickstart for the year. And next month, I'm going to be putting some of you guys on the mat and asking you, okay, did you have a 1 month goal? How's that going? Have you written your goals down every day? Because that keeps you focused and conscious of them and what they are. And let's hear some success stories. That's what I'd like to see next month. Anything else? Anybody else would like to say? Casey? Somebody else?
No, I think that's a really good plan. I mean, if you can't hold yourself accountable, then you need to rely on someone else. Otherwise, it's a question of how bad do you want to succeed.
By the way, how long does it take to create a habit?
Well, 21 days.
I've heard 21 days, so that's probably close to it. So if you can actually get yourself to write your goals 21 days in a row, you're probably going to keep doing it.
Absolutely.
So you just need someone to help you for 21 days, if that's the case.
Yeah.
All righty. Okay. Thank you, Casey, and other people that contributed. I'm looking forward to an awesome 2018. This is the very beginning. Let's make it awesome. As I said at the start, it's a year of opportunity. We've got a current affair coming up sometime in the near future, which I believe will give all of us the opportunity to get some customers that we didn't even have to work to get, because they'll just find us and ask the question. You need to be ready for that. And this time next month, we'll be talking about, I hope, where we're up to with that, what happened, what has happened. And let's make 2018 an awesome, awesome year of opportunity. All righty. Thank you, everybody. I will stop the recorder there.